This will be a relatively short little lesson tonight. It's a Q&A topic. Goes back to something I heard Erin say the other day. She was talking, they've been on their Texas tour of volleyball. Seems they were gone this time of year nearly every weekend, Erin and Megan and Kyle usually. And they were talking about one of the different congregations that they might go to this for, depending on what time their ball game was. And Erin said something to the effect of, is that the church that does things so much differently than we do? And so she made that comment that just kind of struck me what she was talking about. Well, come to find out, she's talking about the order of worship. And as people have traveled around, we know that not everybody does things exactly in the same way. That we may have some different orders, that some people do the communion early than in the worship service. Some people do it late. Some people may open with a prayer. We open with a reading. There's just all sorts of different ways to do things. And so I thought we'd talk a little bit about this, and especially at the end, give time for that or Paul, because you have a different perspective probably, because you may remember some of the things that were a little bit more important back in our history of the church. So the question is, what about the order of worship? Why do some congregations do it differently than how we do it? I believe the first verse we need to understand is 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. And it just simply says, let all things be done decently and in order. And that is our command from the Apostle Paul. Our church services and our worship service, I would say, are probably relatively tame compared to what it was like in the early years of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you read it in context, remember it's talking about all these people that had spiritual gifts and what was the order that they were allowed to speak. And if the person had a prophecy that wanted to explain. And then people that were speaking in tongues and in different languages. I can imagine it was very chaotic. Much, much more tame in our day probably. But I believe this rule still stands, that we need to let all things be done in decency and in order. So let's get through the stuff that pretty much everybody agrees on. Acts 20:7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So we're given upon the first day of the week that we have authorization to meet. We're told to break bread. Break bread is often a euphemism for the Lord's Supper. And then Paul spoke to them. Paul taught them. So we have the concept of the Lord's Supper and of teaching upon the first day of the week. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So again, we have the concept of teaching and preaching as people speak to them. And if we wanted to, we could meet daily, is what it says, daily in the temple. That's why we have a gospel meeting in the summertime usually, or we'll have a Saturday, Sunday. We are not restricted to only on the first day of the week. We can preach daily. Matthew 26:26 tells the institution of the Lord's Supper. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So here we see the Lord's Supper, again taking the cup, taking the bread, the fruit of the vine. And then we add one here, it says they sung a hymn. And most folks think that was probably part of one of the psalms. It's known as the Hallel. But they sang a song together in their worship. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the church of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So again, it's upon the first day of the week, and that's when the collection was to be taken. It wasn't to be taken any other time. If we have a midweek service, we don't take an offering. That's to be done, as the Bible says, upon the first day of the week. So we've got the Lord's Supper. We have teaching. We have singing, we have the collection. And we're also told, 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul said, I desire that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. So we're to pray. And so we have offer prayers in our public worship service. We have an assembly. Hebrews 2 and 11 and 12. For both him who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And so we sing praise in the midst of our assembly. And that singing is not just any kind of singing. There has to be a purpose behind the words that we're singing, or we're not singing it correctly. Colossians 3 and 16 says, let the word of God dwell in your, the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the songs that we sing are supposed to be teaching songs, or they're supposed to be admonishing songs. And so we teach through our songs that we sing in the midst of the assembly. So typically you'll see this as kind of a Church of Christ 101, the parts of worship. We have the Lord's Supper, teaching, we have contribution, we have prayers, and we have singing, and that constitutes our worship service. So here is the question that Aaron did not quite ask, but she kind of alluded to, that these other congregations did it differently than we do it. So question becomes, is there a singular correct order for worship in the Lord's church? Are we bound to what we're, is there a way that we're supposed to do it? Do we need to do the communion at a certain time and the contribution at the same time? Do we need to have a set number of songs? Is there a singular correct order for worship? And in the past, you'd be surprised, a lot of people said yes. I take you back to 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. This word order really started catching people's attention, even back into the times in the 1800s, in the time of Alexander Campbell. And so a lot of the history stuff I'm going to give you here is from a sermon I found online. It's Ronnie Wade talking about this. So if you want to Google Ronnie Wade, the order of the worship, you'll get a lot of the same information. Back in the 1830s, preachers started thinking about this. Is there a set one way that we are to worship in the order of the Lord's church? Alexander Campbell got involved. There was a man by the name of F.W. Emmons, and he had a publication called The Voice. He began to get involved, and they began to write and talk and discuss these things, and they really started picking up on the word order. This word order meant fixed succession, meaning it's one thing and then another, and it's something needed to be fixed. Started going back in some of the New Testament scriptures. They thought this was big. Luke, in his writing of the book of Acts, in his introduction, he said this. He said, it seemed good to me also, Acts 1 and 3, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So he's writing the book of Acts to this Roman man by the name of Theophilus. He says, I'm going to write you an orderly account. It's one thing and then the next. And so these preachers started saying, well, Luke said he was going to write it in order. He was going to write it in the sequential order that things needed to be followed. The Apostle Paul said basically the same thing in Colossians 2 and 5. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So they began to say, well, Luke talked about the order, and now Paul talks about the order, so there must be something important about order. Well, then we get to Acts 2 and 38, and then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of these old preachers began to give us a name. They called it heaven's order. Step one, you repent. Step two, you are baptized. Step three, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they said, you can't mess with that order. That's the heavenly divine order. And they said, well, order is found in the scriptures. And therefore, there is a certain order that must be followed. And the verse that everybody really jumped onto was Acts 2 and 42. So the second chapter of Acts, right once we got past Acts 2 and 38, which we just read, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And there were several old-timey preachers that said that is the order. That's how the worship service has to be set up in the Lord's congregation. Now, Ronnie Wade mentioned a lot of these names. Most I don't know. The two that I've heard, I put in bold. I don't know who Nathan J. Mitchell. He was apparently a preacher in the Pennsylvania area. Alfred Elmore, W.F. Klein. But there was a publication known as the Apostolic Way, and there was a preacher by the name of J.D. Phillips. Now, J.D. Phillips I have heard of, and I've read some things. Very prolific preacher back in the early part of the 19th century. He was big time on the order of worship. It got to the point that several of the preachers, including J.D. Phillips, said, this is the way it has to be done. And there were some groups that were much, much more conservative and some that were much more liberal in this movement. But there were a handful of congregations that said, if you don't do it this way, you're wrong and we will not fellowship you. And so there was a split that occurred, a division in the 1930s over the order of worship. And some folks said you have to do things in a certain way. Well, a lot of people have gone back and forth and thought about this and discussed it. And I said, I missed out on this. I mean, I don't remember this ever being an issue in the church. But apparently it was back in the 1930s, and I don't know if some of y'all remember this or remember hearing about this or knowing of different congregations that worship in a different order, and that being an issue. I like to look at it like 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 2. Paul says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and reverence. Is that the order that we have to pray? Is that an order? Is that a divine order that we have to first do a supplication, then a prayer, then an intercession, and then a giving of thanks? Is that what that means? Is that an order that we have to go step one, step two, step three, step four for us to have an effective prayer or a prayer that's heard? I don't believe so. I believe that's stretching the point a little bit beyond what is necessary. But that's how a lot of preachers saw it, including J.D. Phillips. He said, this is the order, Acts 2 and 42. And so there are a lot of congregations, this is exactly what they did. They followed this order in their order of worship. And if you look at it like I did, you might say, well, I see apostles, doctrine, and fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. That's missing a couple things. And so here's kind of a chart I just put together. That apostles' doctrine, in J.D. Phillips' world, he included singing and teaching. Because it says in Colossians that our singing is supposed to teach. So he kind of lumped singing and teaching together under the apostles' doctrine. Under fellowship, which is when everybody comes together as one, he said that also included the contribution. And then the breaking of bread is the Lord's Supper, and then prayers, obviously, is prayers. And so several of these old preachers, J.D. Phillips being the most prolific of the writers, said this is the way you ought to order your worship service. So that's how it was done. It was done with singing and then teaching. Once the lesson was over, then you would pass the basket, you'd have a contribution. Then you would do the Lord's Supper, and then at the end you would offer multiple prayers. And it had to follow in that order. And so we have to ask ourselves, is that required? Is that something that we have to do to be able to follow, to be within the realms of being correct in the eyes of the Lord? So remember, we talked about singing, Lord's Supper, prayer, contribution, and teaching. Do we have to have it in a certain order? You know, some congregations, I know Midland, I believe, starts with the Lord's Supper. They begin with the Lord's Supper. Lubbock begins with a prayer and then goes into a singing service. We have a reading and then go into a song service. Arlington, the big one, Green Meadows in Arlington, they begin with a reading like we do, but then they discuss it a little bit. They'll have a little passage, just a couple verses, and someone will get up and just basically answer the question or explain the passage. Then they will go into their song service. Are these right? Are these wrong? Is there something, do we need to be following a set order? And that became the question that was debated until finally a split occurred in the 1930s. This is how I look at it, and I agree very much with Ronnie Wade. Ronnie says everything we do is important. Acts 2 and 42 is an account of what was done, but not a divine order. Congregations can decide to have four or five songs or three songs. congregations can decide to begin their worship service with the Lord's Supper and put it towards the end. We can begin with the contribution. We can end with the contribution. The only requirement we have is that it's upon the first day of the week. Every day we do is important. So Acts 2 and 42, the way I see it, items are specified, but the order is not. I think it keeps going back to this verse. This is the third time I put it up here. Let all things be done decently and in order. The idea of the worship service is to be in order so there's no chaos. There's no confusion, that people know what's coming. Is it wrong that sometimes we had four songs and tonight we had three, that that's not our normal order? I don't think that's a problem because it didn't cause confusion. We don't want confusion and chaos in the Lord's church. I think back a couple years ago when we went through the COVID issue, we kind of had to talk about how do we want to do our worship service. A lot of churches out of just the denomination were just shut down for several months and didn't meet at all. Some even of our own brotherhood had to make tough decisions like that, how they were going to try to continue worship. As you recall, the way we looked at it, we shortened our service and we moved the communion to earlier in the service in case we had any issues or problems, that we would have fulfilled the obligation of observing the Lord's Supper. As long as everybody's on the same page and the congregation all knows and understands, then that's not chaotic. And I believe we have fulfilled this obligation of let everything be done in decency and in order. That's not what J.D. Phillips thought. And there was a split. According to Ronnie Wade, and this was about 10 years ago that Ronnie Wade gave this talk, he said he knew of probably about 20 to 30 congregations across the Brotherhood that were pretty strict on following the order of Acts 2 and 42. He said, but out of that 20 to 30, he knew of about two that were extremely radical with it, that made it a test of fellowship, that they would not worship with other people that did not follow Acts 2 and 42. He said the rest basically would accept others into their worship and they would worship with other folks who looked at it differently. So I see it as a matter of opinion of the congregation. And as long as the entire congregation's on board and it's not confusing and it's not chaotic, then that is not a divine order that is given. We've been told what to do, but as a congregation, we have the leeway to set things up in the way that we see fit, as long as we are continuing and upon the first day of the week, and we're singing in the right way, and we're offering for the right reason, and we're doing the Lord's Supper the right way, the order of the worship is not bound upon us from Acts 2 and 42. So, that answers Aaron's questions. Maybe why does that other congregation do things differently? Maybe they have some ties back to the back. Maybe they have a reason for it. I don't know. Read about one congregation. They had a member who had to leave and had to leave early, so they made sure they had the Lord's Supper earlier in the service. And so that way, if this fellow had to leave, he would not miss the Lord's Supper. I get there's things like that. As long as it's not chaotic or confusing, I believe we're following our instructions. And there I leave it to questions. And so Paul, Dad, I don't know if y'all remember. Do y'all remember any of issues like that in early years of the church? Maybe that's a question that for Curtis and Merritt. I don't know. Maybe it was the generation before that. I don't know. Anybody have any questions or comments about the order of the worship?
Yes, sir. It's just a comment, and I've been known to want to change an order to emphasize something or have a song that's specially highlighted because it ties with the lesson. I have discovered over the years that folks that are a little older than me do not like to see things changed for any reason. They want to be comfortable and they want to know what's going to happen next. And so just throw that out there. You don't realize that you're ruffling feathers. They just want things to just flow a certain way. That's what they're comfortable with.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. And I think there's nothing wrong with the way Midland does their service. I think there's nothing wrong with the way Lubbock does their service. You know, anybody else, that's as long as we're fulfilling what we're supposed to, then I don't think there's an issue, and I have respect for however any congregation wants to do it, and I hope they feel the same about our worship. Dad?
Drew?
Some congregations meet at 9, some meet at 10, some meet at 10:15, some meet at 10:30. Whatever they decide is, they can do it at 6 o'clock, they can do it at 11 o'clock in the evening if that's what they want, just as long as they make it on the Lord's Day. So I think the congregations have some big work there.
Absolutely.
Just do it like it's told to be done.
Got anything, Drew?
There's the phrase that, like, I'm going to clean my room, I'm going to get my room in order. That doesn't, like, I have a shoe rack I put my shoes on. Every shoe does not have a specific spot on that shoe rack that they have to go in. As long as they're on that shoe rack, I consider my room to be in order and kind of clean. So, I mean, as long as I think we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, it doesn't have any exact order to do anything.
And I agree. And most people in the brotherhood do agree. But you may come across some folks sometimes that do not. And they may be very, very strict in the way that they feel that the service should be run. And if you do, now we know why. Probably goes back to Acts 2 and 42. And probably to the writings of that old Reformation prayer, restoration preacher of J.D. Phillips. And that might explain some things.